You are watching the Nerdrotic Channel. Nerdrotic.com.
It's coffee, and we are live on YouTube. My name is Gary Beekler. Hi, I am from nerdrotic.com. I am in San Francisco, California, and today we're going to talk about episodes 6 and 7 of Doctor Who season 10. It was Extremis and Pyramid at the End of the World. And I am with my co-host John Reed down in the greater Los Angeles area. What's up, man?
How's it going? Toluca Lake, California, coming at you. Yeah, no, dude, Doctor Who. It's for real this season. It's fun because we're going to touch on Extremis today briefly because there are some things that lead into Pyramid at the End of the World. We weren't able to get to Extremis last week. But yeah, man, where this season is going is very interesting to me, especially because this is like the end of an era, right? So I feel like this is I can't tell if what we're seeing right now on the show is the start of the end of the era or an interlude before the end of the era. And I don't know, maybe we can talk about that a little bit more, but it's definitely interesting to see this like kind of three-part event that seems so disparate but good sitting right in the middle of the last season for a lot of people on this working on this show.
Yeah, I was surprised that this was, and I think other people were. I don't know if Stephen Moffat came out before the season and said disappointingly that we're not going to be doing two or three parters as much as we did the last season, and it's going to go back to the one episode thing, which I just kind of like, oh, come on. You know, everybody knows my opinion of them taking a year off and how dumb that was, and then coming back and having to introduce a new companion and, you know, and you know, taking a break right when Peter Capaldi, excuse me, was finding his pace. It was just everything about it was ill timed. So they needed to come out and kick ass this season, and it's been moderately kicking ass. So we get in. So we get this mysterious three-parter now, which is really cool. But you know, I don't want to bury the lead here. You just brought it up, and I think this is the lead. Is that are they going to do like a 6-episode arc that will take us right to the end? Because that would be epic. Now, if this turns out it's just a 3-parter and it ends, and we're going to do a couple little side stories and then have the end in like the last 2 episodes, that's a disappointment. I'm going to say it right. I don't care how good this 3-parter is. If they take a break a couple episodes and continue this 3-parter in the last 2, then I'll be okay with that. But if this is just a 3-parter and it doesn't take us to the end, and you've been teasing this regeneration thing for 2 episodes, I'm going to be super disappointed. And I really liked Extremis. I thought it was a throwback to The Impossible Astronaut, just a lot of the wacky, you know, bringing the Pope into Bill's room. And that's the kind of shit I love Moffat doing. I think he's at his best when he's doing that. But we get to the next episode. I have a lot of questions about the villains, John. What's your theory on the monks?
So we're definitely going to get more into this, but in my notes about the monks, again, I've got a lot of questions too, but in my notes about the monks, I have zombie watchers. So they're like, to me, they're like the watchers from Marvel, where they show up when something big is happening. But in this case, they're like zombie watchers, where instead of just watching, they want to tip the scale one way or the other so that they can gain power in that. So to me, they're kind of like they run these simulations so that they can find moments in a society where things are going to sway one way or the other, and then tip the scale in a direction so that they can gain power. Is kind of what they seem like they're doing to me. I don't know. Is that where you think that?
No, that's exactly what we got. And you know, we don't have a lot of information. And that's where I am too. They're basically the Silence redone. Okay, so that again, this is Moffat kind of halfway revisiting some of his older characters. And here's another complaint. I'm sorry to be so negative, but
It's okay. I'll be positive for the both of us this week.
In this last Capaldi, last Moffat era, I was just hoping he would just bring back some of the best of the, you know, like not a greatest hits, but kind of like a reunion band tour.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way you Cybermen should end
this. And Daleks and a big battle and the Master and Missy and everything. Just everything. Throw it at him.
And Moffat, who is so in love with his own characters, bring back the goddamn Weeping Angels and bring back the Silence. Why not just bring the Silence back? Now, do you think these monks are something else in disguise? Because they did mention in Pyramid at the End of the World that we just took on this look to make, you know, to make you feel more comfortable. And they're like, you're corpses. Well, and then the monk said, well, you're all corpses to us anyway. What's their motivation? Why? I hate to sound like this. Why are they taking over Earth at first? Okay. So they run the simulations in Extremis and they find out all of our weaknesses and that whole plot was awesome. I loved that. I mean, I was hoping they would do something like this in Doctor Who, kind of like a Bobby waking up at the end of Dallas and the whole season was a dream. Not discounting everything, but I loved them. It was some timey-wimey stuff that we finally got back. But then they kind of
took it away. What I love about Extremis, and I'm touching on this now because you bring up the plot, like the general plot. What I like about Extremis is right now we have this interesting push in all sorts of media to explore simulation theory. And Elon Musk has kind of been driving it as like a real theory for the universe that we live within this simulation. And since he's kind of come out as such a big proponent for it, there have been a lot of books written. The biggest one recently, I think, that's been written about simulation theory is called The Game, where we're all living within this video game where time passes differently here than it does where the players are, so that they can experience many lives in their lifetime to gain knowledge and eventually power. And the people who have the realization that they're living in a game are more successful because they take more calculated risks in their lives. And it just explores a lot of interesting ideas about like existential simulation theory, right? And so there's all these novels coming out and lit RPG novels of people entering simulations to live forever and things like that. So there's all these books. And then you have all these video games coming out, like No Man's Sky, which is literally exploring simulation theory in a video game. And now what I love is we're starting to see this enter the conversation in television, in a show that's specifically tailored to be able to bring up these sorts of theories and ideas. And I think that I'm upset that they explored it in a three-part arc instead of having it be a more of a standalone thing about the simulation and what it is. Like, I feel like they rushed through the simulation to get out on the other side to have these revelations of who's in the vault and that the monks have been running these simulations. You know, they needed to get to a point where the episode we saw this week, The Pyramid at the End of the World, could happen. So they kind of rushed through the simulation part. But I feel like that was the most interesting part of this, of these two episodes to me, was the fact that these people are coming and putting us into a simulation that mirrors our own lives, so that the decisions you make inside the simulation affect what they do outside of the simulation. And that whole just idea is mind-blowing when you get into the nitty-gritty of it. And, you know, I also like the name. I have Veritas tattooed on my finger. So the whole Veritas concept, you know, the truth Bible that they have going on. So it's just interesting to see like these digital heretics coming to the world to gain power of some sort.
Digital heretics.
That's the name of the second book of the game.
I like that. I agree. I the simulation thing, which, you know what, we're in the middle of a third parter, so our opinions could change and they could wrap all this up and make it great, but we still could be like I like the dream within a dream stuff, so we still could be in a simulation. My question is, they ran the simulations and to conquer the Earth, but then in the next episode they need our permission to come in and they need us to love them, not just to be afraid of them, to like them. So why run all those simulations? Okay,
because they need to find a time where we would be susceptible to our power centers in the world to actually want someone to come as a savior. So they ran the simulations to see what variables needed to be in place for our power, our people of power to be willing to give over control to these people out of love, not out of fear or obligation or strategy, as they kind of shown when they killed it.
Okay. Which would make sense if this world didn't have a doctor. So if they've run simulations with the doctor, there's no way they could win. They know like, here's just, I'm going to throw this out there. Say we're in another simulation. Okay. So they can't really predict the future. They ran simulations. They crunched the numbers and they figured out that there will be a biohazard in this lab at this time. So this is going to be the point where we come and take over. Not accounting that the doctor could at some point figure out what's going on, go back in time, hack at the simulation and trick them into the doctor will, I guess he kind of already did hack the simulation. He emailed out, but in the first episode, it was said to conquer, we will be easily conquered. So it just doesn't jive with me that if they wanted to conquer, they need to be loved. And if you see the scenes for the next episode, it's totally fascist and totalitarian. So human beings are naturally not going to love that shit. I mean, no matter what, even if you did save them, the next generation would be tired of it. You know what I mean? Well,
the bigger flaw to me, I hate to, like, I don't want to really want to go super negative here because I did like these episodes a lot and I've been enjoying the season a lot.
Yeah.
The kind of thing I'm overlooking so that I can enjoy it, I think on the level I'm enjoying it, it really is just that, yes, Bill makes the decision to give them control to get the doctor's eyesight back because she loves the doctor, but that doesn't really equal love for these new, like, it seemed like what they needed was like savior love.
Yes.
And that's not really what she gave them. So it kind of doesn't work in like the grand idea of them, but you know, it is what it got us to the next episode, I guess. And to me, it's not that big of a deal. It's annoying, I guess, if you really try to like parse it, but I get why this whole doctor being blind arc led to this. And I think that that's an interesting way to give impact to him having been blind, other than the fact that he's blind and he's having a hard time dealing with it. Right. Like it added another element and brought it full circle in a way I wasn't expecting. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And again, I want to say that, like, if the third episode could go timey-wimey and rally and make this one great. So we're kind of speculating a little early, you know? So forgive us if we come back next week and go, dude, that was awesome. We're wrong, you know, which is okay. I'm totally okay with being wrong. I'm married. I did like, I loved Extremis. I loved every bit about it. And so I did like stuff.
Knew what was in the vault, right? Like that's the other thing that came out of Extremis who was in the vault or what was in the vault. You had predicted it pretty much from episode one. So explain to me who's maybe missed a couple seasons or episodes within seasons. Like, what's the big deal about who's in the vault and what's the big deal about that?
Okay, well, the starting of Extremis shows the execution of Missy, who is the female version of the Master. She came back at the end of season 8 with Peter Capaldi in Dark Water. And she was the big mystery of the entire season, and everybody guessed that she was the Master. She has been one of the highlights of the Capaldi era. Okay, she's shown up in every season. The last time we saw her, she was on Skaro with the Doctor and Clara, and she was left behind with a bunch of at the end of the episode, go back and watch it. There is a bunch of Daleks. The Dalek dead are left in the sewers, and they were at that point at the end of the episode. The dead Daleks were rising and attacking the living Daleks, and Missy was there. And the last word she said was, "I have a clever plan." And then we never saw her again until until this episode where she's getting executed, and she, in passing, mentions that the Daleks said you had retired. So she has been talking to the Daleks. So I, and they just kind of breezed by that. It's like, how did she get away from the Daleks? So, you know,
so she could be in league with the Daleks essentially.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's definitely something going on here, and they're setting it up, which is really cool. So this, I think this is this whole arc, you know, I don't know if the monks are going to turn out to be anything, but it's going to be a way to get Missy out of the vault and find out what is going on. And I'm sure it's going to come start out with her being like the doctor's friend. And I know we have a multiple master episode, so more than John Sim coming up, and I think that's in the second to last episode of the season. But what's the important, for one, it wasn't a big mystery that she was in the vault, unless it is. Well, I know we've already seen the scenes, right, where she's in the vault and Bill goes and finds her. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but my theory was, you know, maybe it wasn't so obvious that she was in the vault. Maybe it's the John Sim master who's in the vault, but I guess not, because the scenes come out. So that was kind of a dud.
Or he's going through history and capturing all different versions of the master. And so the vault contains all these masters.
It could. Well, yeah.
But then why is he like stranded himself in one time and place on
Earth? Well, okay, so to go back to Missy's origins, we have not seen the regeneration from John Sim into Missy. That is something we have not seen. So I wonder if we are going to see it, or if there's something else going on. There definitely is something else going on. And this is just the whole point of it, is in the era, we talked about this on our American Gods podcast, in the era of shock TV, you know, where you have not just dumb shocking moments, but like the Red Wedding kind of ruined everything for TV. Everybody's got to have their own Red Wedding now. And I think Doctor Who kind of needs their own Red Wedding. They need something to where people are talking about it. And Missy coming back as the master was a good start, you know, back in season 8. That had people chirping and talking. And this season needs that. And I think I hope that's coming in the form of maybe Missy's not the master. Maybe she, and I'm just throwing crazy shit out here, Whovians. Okay. Maybe she's Susan. Maybe Susan's coming back in some weird way. Maybe we're going to see River Song coming back. You know, maybe it is what it is. Maybe it's just going to be a multiple master and we're going to have, you know, just basic Doctor Who for the rest, but I hope not. The importance of Missy though, she's the best character. And in this Moffat era, especially the later Moffat era, especially the Capaldi era. And this is, it's kind of missed having a gang. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tennant's doctor, you know, Nick, discounting Eccleston, who, you know, only had one season, but Tennant had like the best gang, you know, he had Mickey and Martha and just, they had a troop of people. And that's what I think Doctor Who is at its best. I love the doctor, but I like lots of characters, and it's the last couple seasons just been the Doctor and Clara, and I don't think that really works for Doctor Who that much anymore. I think it's been proven, you know. I think people, you know, we need to have more of an ensemble, and I think Missy's been the best addition. You've seen the episodes with her. She enhances the show a million times, so I cannot wait. You know, I can't wait for the next episode, and I don't know what's going to happen, I'm just, you know, it's hard to do a podcast in the middle of a three-parter. It is. Because, like, I could come back going, man, everything I said last week was completely wrong. But, that's why we do it.
Exactly. Which is why, so a lot of what I have about the pyramid at the end of the world is kind of thoughts and themes. So let's get into some of them. Did you get, there was a moment where the doctor's meditating and he's playing the guitar, or he says he's meditating, he's playing the guitar, and it's like all eerie. Did you get like a huge Grant Morrison vibe at that moment? Like I was like, it almost to me felt like Grant Morrison had injected himself into the show for a little while. And it made me think like if Grant Morrison were writing Doctor Who, what would that look like? And I almost felt like we got little glimpses of it this episode. I don't know. Did you?
I did not, but I think about it. Yeah, he would be so good for Doctor Who.
God, it would just be so like,
anyway, he would probably think it's beneath him, but no, that's really interesting. No, I liked the creative way they did this on last week's Doctor Who, where they kind of melded the, you know, stuff we've already seen with the the actual date between yes. Patty was her name and Bill was cool. But again, I was confused. How did Bill remember the computer simulation? Was she connected to it? And why doesn't everybody remember
that room? Because Nardal and she went into that room. I think that was like an area outside the simulation.
But she was in the simulation. That was a simulation, Bill. So again,
that wasn't the same Bill. Yeah. You're right.
Is it because she's a time traveler? She can remember all this stuff. Maybe that's what I'm going to choose to agree.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. I'm happy. That's interesting. I know. I did not think about that. I hope next episode at least touches on that a little bit. Probably won't.
Well, that's why I think we might be in another simulation, especially with the pyramid showing up. And another thing is like, where was Leftwich Stewart? Leftwich Stewart. I can't talk today. Sorry. Where was Osgood? I know Osgood's dead, or is she? We don't know. She is Igon. We don't know. But this would have been a great time. And I didn't know that they called the Secretary General Your Excellency. Is that true? Yes.
Probably
it's a symbolic fucking
it was interesting to see Trump jokes. Like when they were talking about the president, I was like, wait, there's no president in England. Like this, there's no British president. And then they made like the orange Trump joke, and I was like, this is so American right now. Like, am I watching the right like for a moment I was like, this is a different show all of a sudden.
Well, that means it was filmed post-election. Some of this stuff was filmed it was filmed really out of order. Yeah. This year apparently. So it was interesting. And we knew the doctor was president from the end of season 8, when Missy took over in the whole Darkwater and Cybermen thing. And the Secretary General got fried, didn't he? Yeah, along with the leaders of the armies.
Yep, they're all fried.
They all got fried. I'm kind of hoping that the monks are like a ruse for something, like there's something else under that. But
the center of a coalition of evil bad guy type stuff.
Well, maybe like being used by the Daleks or the Cybermen or something. That'd like that. Nice. That would be nice to have that. But I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be more of a way of getting Missy back. And then Missy will bring, I can't see the Daleks not being involved in this, especially they're always involved at the end of a Doctor.
Yes.
The regeneration thing. Oh, go on.
Yes,
go on.
Yes. No, you.
No, the regeneration thing has been getting teased and teased and teased, and it's getting to the point where, like with the vault, it's like, okay, I know it's going to be long and weird, and I know it's going to happen well before the end of the series. So I'm wondering, like, they're going to probably pull like Capaldi out of time, so it'll be like a past Doctor, helping out. Like, they did that already.
Right.
With Matt Smith and the Impossible Astronaut. So I hope they really do it differently than that, just not just like, oh, he's regenerating, but we're pulling him out of time. That would just be a total repeat and bad. They're making it look like it happens next episode. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to more get healed. That's my speculation. Anyway, he's just going to heal himself. Because he's done that.
Something we've seen a lot this season is this idea of like fuel. The name of the bio plant that creates this biochemical problem, it's called agrofuel. So essentially it seems like what this place was doing was trying to create some sort of biofuel, but it turned into a chemical weapon of sorts. What do you think, Gary, about this theme of different fuels? And we had in the first episode, you had the passenger where they decided that the fuel had consumed the girl, and it was like, I feel like a lot of these episodes have had some sort of different like time travel or space travel fuel at the center, or some sort of fuel idea. Do you think that this is an intentional thing, and do you think it's going to play into something, or is it just things that they're dropping and it's just fun for them to play with us?
I think it's a definite possibility, and I'll give you an example. With the last run of Matt Smith, They mentioned, God, in almost every episode, not every episode, Christmas. Like it just got mentioned, like, this is Christmas. It must be Christmas for you. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. And it was before we absolutely knew Matt Smith was going to leave. And then they announced that he was going to leave at the Christmas special. Right. So it was, yes, they do drop little hints, although it might seem just in passing that leads, that answers your bigger picture. Like another example, they talked about the biggest hint from Day of the Doctor, which I rewatched today. Matt Smith said painting. So Moffat likes to use random stuff and make it the bad guy. You know, like we talked about it earlier, like evil shoelaces, you know, and shadows and stuff like that. So yeah, I think there's definitely like an evil fuel. Who knows? Like
somebody's trying to accumulate fuel or needs fuel to escape or some sort of something there.
Yeah.
I just feel like something's got to
happen. I just know that Stephen Moffat has, what are we, this was episode 7. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 5 episodes to wrap up a lot of fucking plot holes. Excuse my language. Okay. And I mean, I'm going back to Matt Smith. Sarah, there's still open-ended stuff that they need to, which he won't, because what Moffat, I mean, I love Moffat. Okay, I love him as a writer. I guess one of his biggest flaws is he likes to do a lot of throwaway shit, and it teases you. It does confuse you too, though,
because red herrings.
Yeah, a lot of red herrings, just tons of red herrings. But sometimes the stuff does pan out, and it's awesome. Like the crack. In reality, the bad guy from the season 5, the payoff on that at the end of Matt Smith's era was freaking great. You know, how he flipped that around and made it Gallifrey. You know, that was fucking awesome. I just rewatched Day of the Doctor. My son randomly said, I want to watch it. And so we watched it in 3D. And God damn, that episode is so good. I mean, just every second of it is good. And it made me long. I miss Matt Smith. I mean, you know, it's like I still miss Tenet, but I've kind of like moved on from Tenet. And I just think, God, I think we could have gotten a couple. I think Matt Smith should have finished them off at air, honestly. I mean, I love Capaldi, but, you know, the show, I hope the show really goes back to a younger Doctor, like we said before, and a more ensemble cast. And another thing they need to change,
being involved would be nice. I think that was something that was great about the previous era, was having this like kind of strike force in the background, you know, hunting down supernatural and weird threats. Like I think that having some other organization kind of shadowy near the Doctor's operation is great, because they could be helping him or hurting him at any given point without even knowing it. Something like that would be nice. A team.
Hell yeah. Somewhere. Hell yeah. My brain just completely farted, but, back to that ensemble cast thing, I don't know that I've been hearing a lot. I've been reading a lot, and, you know, I didn't prepare that much for this episode because I've been busy, but I've been doing a lot of reading on the future of Doctor Who, and the story keeps changing and changing. So Whovians should be slightly worried, okay? Because I know we've got Chimbal taking over, but it looks like there will be another year break. And it looks like if this show doesn't catch fire, and I mean like immediately, it could be over.
Really?
Yeah, like they have a 5-year plan. That's it. So that, and which seems like a long time, but this is their, you know, this is their most bankable show. It's not the most watched show, but it's the one that makes the most money because of merchandising and stuff like that, which we've talked about. So I hope that's not the case, because this show has such great potential to get really creative. And I think it does need a bit of an overhaul, without totally throwing away, you know, 50 years. And you know, another thing, Moffat, you know, talk about red herrings. At the end of the Day of the Doctor, John, they sent the Doctor on a new mission, which is to find Gallifrey. And I thought that's what we were going to be kind of doing. And I guess they kind of did that, but they didn't do it to the extent that I thought that would, you know, like the Time War was always in the background for Eccleston and Tennant's era and Matt's, for part of Matt Smith's. That was always a thing, you know, and I thought the new thing would be finding Gallifrey. It would be mentioned in every other episode where like we're looking for Gallifrey, and just that just never panned out, you know. I do know we're getting Time Lords, the season. They put it on a couple of the promo posters. So, oh, maybe the monks are Time Lords.
That'd be interesting. Zombie Time Lords. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Or the Time Lords want to take over Earth again. We know that they're not the greatest people. So that's the reason why the Doctor left. But
so
I don't know.
There's been a shift this season that I wanted to talk to you about, because I don't know what to make of it and if it's like a smokescreen or what. But at the beginning of the season, the Doctor was really optimistic. He would go back into situations to fix them, hoping that things would get better. And in this episode, there are a lot of weird things that the Doctor did in the pyramid at the end of the world. First off, there's this conversation between him and the generals where Nardal, they were telling him that they need to use force on these guys, and Nardal was like, force is never the answer, isn't that right, Doctor? And the Doctor just looks at him and he's just like, okay guys, coordinate your forces, let's do this. He went straight to violence in that moment.
Yeah, that was weird.
It just seemed like a funny thing. And then right after that, he has the line, like, they're like, how are you so cool with this? And he's like, this isn't my first dead planet. Like, he gets really grim this episode. There's a moment where, like, they're trying to figure out what the watchers are looking, the monks are looking for. And the Doctor says, Bill says, oh, maybe it's like futuristic vampires. And the Doctor like shoots her down in like a really mean way, like super quickly, which he usually doesn't do with his companions. And so there were a lot of these weird little things with the Doctor this episode. What do you think that is?
Maybe part of it's his blind thing is making him crotchety.
Yeah, that was what I think we were supposed to think.
Yeah, it was. Those are not as much the alien. That's a good point that you brought out, because I didn't really super catch that one. But the violence thing really stood out with me, and that's when I started thinking, oh, it's another simulation. Like this isn't our Doctor.
So he just doesn't care as much.
or he's trying to play in, because, you know, we could talk a little bit about the scenes of next episode. I guess the Doctor is just doing viral videos. That's it. I hope it's one of these episodes too. I really like the episodes where the Doctor's not in it that much sometimes, you know, kind of like, Turn Left, you know, and
he wasn't in a ton in Extremis. We had all the interaction between him and Missy, with that really cool, like Camelot looking stuff that when they were on the boat, like, and then there was the stuff with him with, you know, fiddling with his glasses and sending the email out and like in the White House and stuff. But other than that, it was really a Nardal and Bill episode, right? Like they were the ones navigating the simulation.
Well, and like in Blink, you know, it's just him doing videos and again, this might be Moffat just reusing some of his old stuff, but that's also a trick they use when they do the two-parters for shooting schedules. Like they purposely wrote Blink and Turn Left so the Doctor could, because he's on screen a lot more in these two-parters and they got to film them back to back and blah, blah, blah. So that's why they do these episodes. In the last season of Capaldi, I don't know why the fuck they would do that, but sometimes you get some really good episodes out of it. So that'll be interesting. Next episode looks really good, but it looks like the Doctor's going bad, and we have a shot of Bill shooting the Doctor, which we know
so
doesn't.
See, I haven't seen the previews, so to me, maybe this is a descent into either he's got some sort of plot, or he's going evil, and these are the little the preamble slipping out or something. But that's interesting.
See, this would be this. I'm going to go back on this again, because I know this episode's going to end the arc. Okay, because we got a Mark Gatiss episode, and we've got another one written by somebody else. The Empress of Mars is coming up, and it's not. I wish this was an arc taking us all the way to the end. It would be brilliant. There's so many cool things you could. You know what? Like the Master, when the Master came back in season 3. Those are some of my, you know, some of my favorite. Those are my favorite three episodes, when the Master comes, and they start out at the end of the universe, and then they come back and he's Prime Minister, and it was like, that was freaking awesome. I kind of hoping they would do that over 6 episodes, but they're not gonna. you know, and that's one of the big changes that I was going to bring up earlier that they need to do with Doctor Who is, you know how American TV is written. It's all the writer's room, you know, where we have a head guy and you have a bunch of writers, and those writers do write individual episodes, but it's all based on this arc that they all work on. Doctor Who doesn't do it that way. They do individual writers still who write episodes and they fit it, you know, and Stephen Moffat does guide everybody, but that they're mostly standalone episodes. And apparently that's going to be one of the big changes. Like Doctor Who's going to go to the writing room after this. I think that totally needs to happen. You got to see the scenes for next episode. Okay. So you've seen the big trailer of Doctor Who, right? Where they show him regenerating in an office with two like UN soldiers in the background. Yep. Radio Times had pointed out that on the desk, you can see a statue of a monk that says truth. So it's definitely happening next episode, this whatever. I think it's just him healing and siphoning off. And I think it's going to probably, he's probably just going to have like a slow death. But what you said, visiting the doctor is like a bad guy for a couple, three episodes. Maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to do like a role reversal where the master or Missy's the good guy and the doctor's the bad guy. And he really is the bad guy. That would be that cool. Would be
very cool.
Like I somebody taking that. Over Superman. You know what I mean?
It's,
and then you realize how dangerous Superman is. Like if somebody can control that dude, he's really, that's why Batman keeps kryptonite, you know? So maybe they could be visiting. That would be cool. That would be so cool.
Yeah, and that idea of like a construct where he's living in effect, like oh man, you know that they're not going to do this, but it would be so cool if like the masters had like this team of past and present and future masters had gotten the monks together, or they're the monks themselves in disguise, and they've created this simulation specifically to mess with the doctor, and it's like a simulation inside a simulation inside a simulation, and it just goes so deep where the doctor realizes it at a certain point and also realizes that he just needs to go complete anarchist inside the simulation to get out. Like those types of plot lines are kind of, I think, what we want to see.
Oh, that would be so rad. Oh, yeah. Terrorist doctor, you know, that, sorry for the timing of that
Mr.
comment,
Robot, but doctor.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. That would be freaking rad.
But that's
what Doctor Who needs to do. What you just said, Mr. Robot Doctor, let's not go that surreal, but I mean, you know, season long arcs and the mind fucking you can do, you know, Stephen Moffat really explored the mind fucking you can do with Doctor Who. And then he kind of backed off. I'll never understand that. I'll never understand that. But
in the Tennant and maybe even in the Smith era, the Doctor operates with a lot of trial and error, right? But it always seemed like with past iterations of the Doctor, like he knew what he was doing from the very beginning, and it was us that kind of perceived it as trial and error. Does it seem like with Capaldi, it's just a lot of trial and error?
No, that's definitely I think that's been done on purpose, but it he is a less confident doctor. He's a doctor who makes a lot of mistakes and he's angry, and maybe they'll touch on this before it ends, but you know, this is he wasn't supposed to live this long, so he got his new set of regenerations. So this is a very different doctor. This is a doctor who was not supposed to be. So I think he was definitely, they definitely made a point of putting out in season 8 that he was angry, and he was angry and dark the first season, super dark. Got way, as time has gone on, he's gotten more fun. But this series especially, you know, he's got the regret thing going, and I don't think it's just because he's breaking his promise for watching Missy for 1,000 years. Because he didn't seem to respect those executioners very much. So this big promise that he made, you know, to watch her for 1,000 years. I mean, you know, for one, he manipulated the fact that they were supposed to execute her and they didn't. Right. So I think there's something else he's regretting. There's something else going on.
I'm just excited, man. I'm excited to see where this one, ends up. I feel like they've dropped a lot of breadcrumbs for the last two episodes, and you know that they're going to tie it up in some cool way.
I got one quick before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen to Bill?
Look, I don't, it's hard to say. I think they would be smart to make her, like, if they're really tying up this iteration of the Doctor in a big way. I like the idea of Bill being like the Rose from like Titanic, right? Like becoming like the person who is just like looking back on this period of time in her life nostalgically as she grows old, you know, like I know they've done that before, but I just feel like with Rose, he doesn't seem to be as attached to to Bill as a lot of doctors are attached to their companions. So I feel like this is more of a fleeting companionship than it has been in the past. And so I see this as being like a spring fling rather than like a lifelong obsession type thing. So,
That's a great point. Yeah, it's more sympathy. He brought her on because he feels like she's been dealt a pretty shitty hand in life.
Yes.
And he just wanted to help her out. Yeah, there isn't that emotional, but the problem is that there, with Capaldi, there hasn't been. You know, there was Clara, and that was a really difficult relationship because like she went through the change and she was in love with Matt Smith's version. And you know, they had to deal with it. Then, you know, the next, he's like, I'm not your boyfriend. And just like that, it changes. And I think that's an aspect of the show that I know that's one that I miss. I hate to sound like that, but you know, again, watching The Day of the Doctor, you saw Clara give Matt Smith a little peck on the cheek. And, you know, there was, you know, you don't have to have them hooking up. You could just have the innuendo. It's fine. But it makes it more interesting for me. I don't know why. I don't know why. It just does.
Yeah, agreed. And with this one, it also just seems like less of a partnership. Like Bill is almost looking out for the Doctor more than he seems to be looking out for her.
Yeah.
Especially with the sacrifice she makes at the end of this episode. And, you know, that I don't love that aspect of this dynamic because I like Bill a lot, you know, so I want the Doctor to treat her a little better.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe we're supposed to feel that way. I don't know. We don't know where it's going, I guess. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I don't know. They haven't given us a tight enough of a bond to have some huge thing happen between the two of them to end it. So I feel like it's got to be more of a her idea of the Doctor being the concept when she's no longer a companion and traveling with him.
Yeah, you know, she's been really good. And her characterization was built up enough to where I think it's okay to kind of back off on it now a little bit, which they've done the last two episodes, and just kind of got on with being a Doctor Who show. And they've done that one really well, I thought. And she's been great. She's been like great. So yeah, great. I'm excited for next episode though. I want to see it. I'm going to watch the trailer again right after we're done.
Me too. So everyone come back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. We'll be with you here on YouTube live. Subscribe to us on YouTube to get all those notifications. You can also ask questions, comment. We post all of this stuff at facebook.com/nerdroticpodcast or head over to the website. We turn all these into audio podcasts, so you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Nerdrotic on iTunes, hit subscribe, leave us a star rating or a review. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at JohnReed16. Gary, as you can see on your screen in front of you, is at Nerdrotics. He's managing our official Twitter feed. We also have Dennis, who's at DaForce, and Melissa, who is at Agent Bossy Boots. We're always chatting up on Twitter, so if you have any comments, jokes, whatever, questions, leave it for us on our Twitter feeds. Did I miss anything there?
No.
Great.
Well done, sir.
Like us, follow us, comment.
We're going to comment, and you can win in a box of impossible things. Please leave a comment. And if you are, we would like you to subscribe, leave a comment.
If you leave us a comment, or sorry, a review on iTunes or a comment on YouTube, those are the best things for us. So we usually pick our winners from those two pools, because those are how we get noticed more and how we move up search engines and rankings. So those are the things that help. Subscribe and review on iTunes, and subscribe on YouTube, and leave comments on all of our videos.
If you want to see what one of those boxes looks like, go to our Twitter feed. I have it pinned to the top there, what the first prize winner won. It's very cool. It's very
awesome. Cool. Awesome. I mean, just look behind Gary right now, and he just pulls stuff off his wall and sends it to you as gifts. It's pretty
That's what awesome. I do. Look. All right, awesome, man. Well, may the small folks sing songs of your greatness.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Bye, everybody.
You have been listening to a Nerdrotic podcast. Please subscribe.